Every generation of Americans, writes Dr. Christopher Flannery, from the beginning, has had to answer for itself the question, how should we live? Our answers, generation after generation, in war and in peace, in good times and bad times, in small things and in great things, through the whole range of human affairs, are the essential threads of the larger American story. Close quote. This is the After Dinner Scholar podcast from Wyoming Catholic College, and I'm your host, Dr. Jim Tonkowicz. While our podcast typically features our Wyoming Catholic College faculty, last week, Dr. Christopher Flannery was in Lander and is our guest on the podcast. Dr. Flannery is a senior fellow at the Claremont Institute, contributing editor to the Claremont Review of Books. He was a professor in the Honors College at Azusa Pacific University, where he taught for over 30 years. Dr. Flannery earned his bachelor's degree from California State University, Northridge, his MA and his PhD in government from the Claremont Graduate School, and an MA in International History from the London School of Economics and Political Science at the University of London. He is the author and voice of The American Story podcast. Dr. Flannery, tell us about your podcast, The American Story.
Well, it's about a 7 minute, they vary, 6 to 7 minute story that's recorded and set to music that comes out once a week. And you can find all of the episodes on our website, theamericanstorypodcast.org, or you can subscribe on your favorite podcast app. And every story is meant to capture some truth about America that makes you understand better why this is the country you know and love. That's really what they're about.
And for example, what are some of the things that you've talked about?
Well, we started with some obvious things. We've done a number of stories on the Declaration, the American Revolution, the Constitution, the Civil War, Abraham Lincoln, and major things like that. But we've also tried to do stories just about Americans that people may never have heard of and whose stories remind you of interesting episodes in American history. And we've done quite a number of stories, and some of our most popular, on American heroes, on soldiers, sailors, Marines from different generations who have offered their lives or given their lives for our country.
I know I listened to one on the Great Seal of the United States, that the sort of odd pictures on the back of our dollar bill.
Yeah, so that's a recent one, and I've been interested in that for a long time. And one of the pleasures of doing these podcasts is I get to learn myself some things that I should have learned years ago or always wanted to know. And so, yeah, the Great Seal of the United States is a real interesting instruction about what the country means. And if you study it and study the original records that really instructed Congress how to design this deal, you really learn about how the founders, and this was Jefferson, Adams, Franklin, they were all thinking about these things back in the 1780s when America was first going to become a sovereign country. How do you represent what America stands for visually? And the Great Seal does that. If you listen to the story, you can learn in about 5 or 6 minutes some of the interesting elements of it.
Now, in your podcast, Our Finest Hour, where you talk about Winston Churchill in the American experience, you said, our greatest enemy is the bad ideas that have miseducated Americans so thoroughly for so long that many of us have forgotten what it means to be a free people. What are some of those bad ideas?
Well, in my view, they really originate with the progressives over 100 years ago, when the leading scholars in our most prestigious universities explicitly rejected the principles of the American Revolution, claimed that there was no such thing as truth, no such thing as natural law or natural rights, and began to take history as their guide in understanding all human things. So I think that's the beginning. Charles Beard's economic interpretation of the Constitution is a good example. And the things that all of us are seeing in the recent years are just the latest, I would say, latest iteration of this progressivism. Today, it's very aggressive. It really takes the form of like critical race theory, the 1619 Project. Whereas Charles Beard would claim that America was essentially exploitative economically, Today, progressivism says, no, America is systemically racist. It's just the latest version of progressivism, I would say.
Now, how does telling what someone might call little stories about America, how does that combat those bad ideas?
Yes, well, these bad ideas need to be combated in their own right, that's for sure. People need to make the American argument, and most of my life and most of my academic colleagues and so on, they spend their time doing that, explaining why America is really the great country that it is. But there's at least some work needs to be done in just showing listeners and readers what it would look like or sound like to talk about America as it should be talked about. So these stories, these little stories, attempt to do just that, really to present the self-evident truth, you could say, of life, the common sense truth, without having to work through 1,000 pages of argument about why critical race theory is the false theory that it is. So that's the idea.
I thought another one I listened to that I thought was fascinating is you did one about Frank Capra, the films he made, the documentaries he made during World War II. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I love Frank Capra. And that's, again, I didn't know much about Frank Capra before I started these things, but I read a couple of good biographies of him, of course, watched all his films, which is a great pleasure. So that's the first thing I would say for anyone to do is go look up Frank Capra, look up his most famous films and watch them. And all of his films attempted in art to display the gratitude and love that he had for America, and especially to show respect for the ordinary individual, the ordinary man, as the common man, as he thought of him. And then, so he had made some films like that, and he was already famous. He was the most successful director in Hollywood by about 1939. And as America got drawn into World War II, very high-level generals contacted Frank Capra and said, we need to make films that teach Americans, that show Americans why we are fighting this war, and we think you're the man to do it. It scared him. It was the greatest challenge he'd ever faced. He'd never done anything like that. It was a tremendous responsibility. But in response to that request, you could say, which was more of an order, he created this series of films in World War II, these documentaries called Why We Fight. And they themselves became award-winning documentaries, and they're really well worth watching today.
As you look back on the sweep of American histories, what one or two stories most inspired you or most inspire you and why?
Yeah, well, I'm really a Lincoln man. And I don't think if you have to start somewhere, you know, if you can't study everything about America, if you thoroughly studied the life of Abraham Lincoln and his writings and his speeches and his deeds, you would, first of all, learn about a really great and admirable human being, but you would also learn virtually everything you need to know about America. There are lots of other inspiring stories, but Lincoln stands out as number one. His contemporary, Frederick Douglass, is surely a close second if you want to study the life of someone who began life in slavery and became one of the most influential men of the times.
Our students read Lincoln's Lyceum Address. You did a podcast not long ago on that as well, didn't you?
Yes, and that address was given when Lincoln was, I think he was about 28 years old, 28 or 29. And as your students study that, they will discover in there two things, remarkable comprehensive reflections, not just on policy questions in America, but on the real nature of political life. That's one thing. And also really remarkable rhetorical mastery in the speech. So he was not well known at all then. He was a very young man. This is kind of the first major speech we have of his. It is very well worth studying. So I'm glad your students are studying it.
Now, what can everyday Americans, and American Christians in particular, do to be part of the solution rather than part of the problem?
Well, I think it begins at home. If you can be good parents to your children, be good men and women, good mothers and fathers, and good parents to your children, that is really the most important work in the world. Now, as you see in this last year or so, you see many parents who otherwise would not be getting involved politically, getting involved at the local level. I think that's something all Americans and American Christians can do. If you have the time and inclination, go to your school board meetings or run for the school board. Make sure that your local schools are not teaching your children or your neighbor's children things that you would not want them to learn.
Well, at the same time, as I listened to your podcast, I was like, this is scholarly stuff, but it's not, you're putting the cookies on the bottom shelf.
That's exactly right. And, I'm an academic, a PhD, and I've been a professor for 30 some years, but I'm not an academic book writer or really an academic article writer on the whole. I kind of learned that self about myself over the years. But a professor of mine, Harry Jaffa, wrote two great books, I think two of the greatest books or the greatest books written about America, Crisis of the House Divided and New Birth of Freedom. And those books are for the few and the very few. They're very deep, very complex, remarkably powerful books. But I think that at the core of those books, the power of them really comes from a kind of philosophic poetry that's in the soul of those books. And I wanted with these little stories to try to extend some of that philosophic poetry about America to our citizens, not just to scholars and academics, but to fellow citizens who love their country and would do well to be reminded why they should.
What are some podcasts you're working on for the future?
I just finished one on December 7th, because that's coming up. I try to stay a few weeks ahead. As you know, that's important in the podcast world if you can do it. So there's one on December 7th. This is the 80th anniversary of that coming up. I've got one on Christmas coming up, which, again, American Christmas. So how significant Charles Dickens, among other things, was in shaping the American idea of Christmas. Again, Frank Capra, some Christmas movies that we all watch as Americans and just become part of our experience. The days of the year are one thing. You know, there's an American calendar, there's a universal calendar. We have New Year's coming up. I'm thinking about New Year's resolutions and the idea of resolution and how Abraham Lincoln said to himself when he was a young man, you brought him up, he didn't want to go into politics until he was confident in himself that he could resolve to do something. And I think that is really important. I think that has to do with, a great deal to do with what you all are teaching and learning here at Wyoming Catholic College. How does one shape one's soul in such a way that you can trust yourself, that you have such a character that you know when you resolve to do a thing, you will not be moved from it by all the temptations that are out there. So New Year's resolution is a theme that's on my mind right now.
Well, I appreciate just knowing about your podcast. I will become a listener, and I've got a 9-year-old grandson, and I'm sure that he can understand it, and we can have some great discussions. So thank you for joining us.
Jim, thank you very much for having me.
A culture without memory, wrote Dr. Wilfred McClay, will necessarily be barbarous and easily tyrannized, even if it is technologically advanced. That's why remembering our nation's past, remembering it accurately, the good and the bad, is vital to preserving freedom. Freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of press, freedom of assembly, and all the other freedoms we cherish. In light of that, let me recommend Dr. Flannery's podcast, The American Story. Recalling our national stories can win our hearts, our children's hearts, and our neighbors' hearts. For Wyoming Catholic College, this is Dr. Jim Tonkowicz.